Well, happy Mother's Day. We are so glad that you are here joining us on this special day. We want to welcome all of you brave moms. You are doing an incredible job. I feel like I want to encourage somebody today that you're doing an incredible job. You're doing better than you think. You know, so many moms right now are having to juggle so many different things, from normal stuff in the house with kids, and now it's thrown on that school and then work for many moms as well. And of course, you know, the whole family is just changed over the past few months and all that goes into it. But I want to encourage you right where you are, mom. You are doing an incredible job. You're doing better than you think. And so right here, we say happy Mother's Day. We are so honored that we get to be here and a part of your day today. So thank you for joining with us. I also want to say happy Mother's Day to my wife and then also to my mom as well. Happy Mother's Day and to all of my family. I'm sure I left somebody out, but hey, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Hey, speaking of Mother's Day, I want to honor a special mom in our church, and we are excited to have this particular family and mom, of course, a part of our church. And I want to read you a card that was sent to me in the mail. We got a card from one of you, and we'll read this card in just a minute. But I want you to know, as I read this card, this is to all of you who are part of our Brave Church community, whether you're joining us online and you're part of our community that way, or you meet with us physically when we were able to meet physically. This is also a thanks to you. So I want to read a card to you from a person that came that is part of our church. So she sent me this, and I want to read it to you. It says, Aaron starts off this way. This is a mom in our church. She says, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit on the Monday Zoom meeting and letting it guide you. I truly needed not only to hear the gospel, but to have it explained. She said that he has been there knocking on my door for quite some time, and I finally answered. He knows that I needed comfort above all else to truly be open to accepting him. You and the amazing people of Brave Church have helped provide that. My study Bible is on the way now, she says, and I can't wait to dive in and learn and grow from it as well. Then Aaron goes on to say, I look forward to continuing my journey with Brave Church, and I'm excited for baptism as well. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you again, Aaron Friels. And right now, we want to say happy Mother's Day to you, Aaron. I think we have a photo of her and her husband, Sean, and so that is Aaron. We want to welcome right where you are, Aaron. Happy Mother's Day, who just recently gave her life to the Lord, all the way from the state of Ohio. We say welcome. Thank you so much. And Brave family, I share this with you. God is still good, and he is still doing a great work through the ministry right here at Brave Church. And so thank you, Brave, for doing all that you do and still giving and being a part of our church. And so we celebrate you, Aaron, today. Welcome to the Brave Church family. We are excited to have you and your Sean and your children. And so thank you so much for being part of our service today as well. Well, hey, as we jump into the talk, I want to support something that Rachel said just a few moments ago, and that is about our Connect card. One of the things that we want to do at Brave is we know that many people are watching different services online, but we just want you to know, we want you to be a part of this church. And if you feel led to be part of this church, we encourage you to go online and go to wearebrave.church/connect. And there you'll see a link that just simply allows you to says click here to get connected. And there's different decisions that you can make and different things that you could be a part of. But what we're asking is, even if you have been a part of Brave for the past several years, everyone, if you can, please go on there today. Just fill out that card. It's just your name, phone, and email. Real simple. It'll take you just a few seconds. And that'll help us as we better serve you, as is to who is watching online and who's gathering. We've gotten hundreds and hundreds of views, but it doesn't always tell us who's exactly a part of that, who's watching. We want to be praying with you as well. And so on that Connect card, there is a prayer request. And we know that there are prayer requests coming from all over our nation today. And so make sure you fill that card out. We would love for you to do that, each and every one of you. So if you're watching, go ahead and go to our website. Go to wearebrave.church/connect. There's a Connect card that's there. You can see the tab. Click on that. Fill that out. If you have a prayer request, we would love to be praying with you. So make sure you do that as well. Well, today we are wrapping up our series called The Heart Matters. We're in part four of this series, and it's been a great series for us as a church, and I hope it's been great for you. It is based off of a verse that comes from Psalm 139. David writes this, and we'll put it up on the screen. It says this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." What David is simply doing is he's saying, God, I want you to take a look inside my heart and see if there's anything. This word offense, since it means pain or sorrow. So what David is saying is, God, is there anything in my heart that's bringing you pain or bringing you sorrow? Anything that's getting in the way of our relationship? And if there is, I want you to deal with it, because I want you to lead me in the way of everlasting, or in the way of eternal life. I want to establish a healthy relationship with you. So God, I want you to examine my heart. It would be as if you're in a relationship maybe, or a marriage or something, it'd be no different than if you were to look at somebody and say, hey, listen, let's get to the root of the issue. You know, why are we continuing to fight? Why are we continuing to argue? What's disrupting our relationship? Let's get to the root of that. And that is what David is doing. He's saying, God, examine me so that I could have a right standing and intimate relationship with you. Deal with the stuff that's inside of my heart. And so David invites God simply to examine his heart. And that's what we're doing in this series. We're inviting God to examine our hearts, to look into our hearts and say, God, is there anything that's getting in the way of my relationship with you? That's what this whole series is all about, so that we could have a healthy relationship with God and healthy hearts. And so in part one of the series, if you're just joining us for the first time as a part of this series, we'll kind of recap it just a little bit. But in part one of the series, we made this statement, and we talked about how holiness is not a matter of outward appearance or keeping of traditions. It's a matter of the heart. If you remember part one of the series, we talked about how Jesus met with these religious leaders, and they thought that hand washing, you know, it was all about hand washing. If you just wash your hands, wash your hands, wash, you know, 20 seconds or more, and you say the ABCs, however you do it, okay, if you just washed your hands, that would somehow maybe make you clean in the eyes of God. But Jesus says, no, it's not about hand washing, although hand washing is good. It's not about all the traditions that you keep either that makes you right. No, it's really about your heart. And so when it comes to following Jesus, it really is all about the heart. And so many times Scripture speaks of the importance of having the right heart and loving the Lord God with all of our heart, and making sure that we don't give ourselves to any other thing, but it's really about the heart, the inner person, the inner man, the soul of a person. So Jesus would address the heart so many times. And the reason Jesus was so adamant about the heart is because at the root of the heart is sin. In fact, in part two of the series, we said sin is a matter of the heart. And so Jesus wants to deal with the sin that's in the heart that's destroying your relationship with God or my relationship with God. He says, I want to deal with the sin that's in the heart. I've got to give you a new heart. In part two, we talked about how we all have heart problems, or we all have sin in our heart that Jesus wants to deal with. And yeah, it takes time, and it takes his word, and it takes his blood. We talked about that. But the important thing that we understand is we all have heart problems, and that heart problem, we'll call it sin. And so Jesus wants to deal with the sin in our hearts. And the reason that it's so important that we deal with this sin, in fact, there's a father who wrote this in Proverbs, we'll put it up, Solomon, last week, because sin is a matter of the heart, it needs to be dealt with. This father writes, above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. All right, so it was this idea that, hey, we've got this relationship with God that we want, just like David did with his father in heaven. He's like, you know, Father, would you examine my heart? I want to have a good relationship with you. What's going on in my heart? Okay, there's sin in my heart, so now I want you to deal with it. And then the reason it's so important to be dealt with is because everything flows from this heart. So we got to guard what goes in it. We want to guard it from sin. We want to guard it from anger. We want to guard it from greed. We want to guard it from jealousy. We want to guard it from envy. We want to guard it from bitterness. Anything that keeps us from experiencing and having the right relationship with God, the relationship with Jesus that he wants for us. And so we understand that it's important to make sure that we guard our hearts. And ultimately, because everything flows from it, because what lies in the heart eventually leaks out. Because if anger is taking over your heart, eventually that anger comes out. And when that anger comes out, it can come out in different ways that causes lots of sin to happen. I heard a crazy statistic this week that, you know, they said in Miami, just South Florida, we're in Tampa, but in South of Florida and Miami, that the first time since the 1950s, they've gone 7 weeks without a murder. I mean, that's, you know, that's amazing because of all that's happening, but it's reduced some crime in many cities around our nation. But here's what I want you to understand. Oftentimes, whenever somebody goes to murder somebody else, there's a heart issue. There's maybe some anger, maybe some jealousy. So jealousy comes in, jealousy sits in the heart, and all of a sudden it comes out. And so what it leads to the sin. And so what Jesus is saying, what this writer Solomon is saying is, make sure you guard your heart from sin. Because if you're not careful and that sin gets a hold of your heart, then it can begin to manifest itself on the outside. And then you get into all other kind of ugliness. You know, if you have jealousy inside, it can turn into murder, but it can turn into, you know, just hatred, offense, gossip. You know, think about real practically, too. Maybe just even in your workplace, if you felt overstepped at your job, you know, somebody else got the promotion that you should have got, and now you've got bitterness or resentment growing in your heart, and now you just don't like your job, and you don't like your boss, and you're making all these different decisions, all but really at the root of it is resentment. And so what this father, Solomon, is saying is you've got to make sure that you take care of your heart. If you're not careful, that thing can manifest itself and turn into many other sins and ultimately destroy your life and the life of others around you. And so the heart matters to God. And so we've talked about many of these things, and today as we wrap up this series, I not only want to talk to you about kind of like that first week where it's kind of a consultation about the heart, and then we dealt with the heart. We're allowing God to do the surgery in our hearts. So today I want to talk to you about how to strengthen your heart. I want you to strengthen your heart. You know, if you were to get up off of an operating table, allowing God to kind of examine your heart and find or discover the sin, and maybe you did that last week. If you didn't, I encourage you to go back. It's on our website. You can watch it there, or you can watch it on Facebook again. But my what the reality is, if you're sitting on this operating table and it's now time to get up off the table and continue to live in your life, how do you continue to live in a place of health for your heart, that you could just gain strength, that you could have a healthy heart or a healthy relationship with God, to maintain a healthy heart. I want you to maintain a healthy heart. You know, one of the most misleading statements that we've all heard said is this. Have you ever heard a mom, you've said this, by the way. Many of you moms have said this before. Dads, you've said it too. You ever told somebody, follow your heart, Johnny? Yeah, just follow your heart, okay? Just follow your heart, whatever your heart tells you. What's your heart telling you? Just follow your heart. Well, we say that statement all the time in making some big decisions. Just follow your heart. And most of that's good intentions, and we're trying to just support the child, support the person making the decision. But I just want to tell you, I don't think we should follow hearts, and neither does Jeremiah, this prophet of God. Look what Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17. He said, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it's desperately wicked. And then he goes on to say, who really knows this thing called the heart? I mean, who really knows how bad this thing is? I mean, this heart is messed up. And so what Jeremiah would say is, you really don't want to follow your heart because your heart is deceptive. It can convince you of anything, right? Jeremiah would completely disagree with the idea that we should follow our heart. Your heart will mislead you. It can convince you of anything. And so the heart is not something that we should follow, but rather something that we need to train. Just like a physical heart needs to be trained to be healthy, the same is true for our heart spiritually with the Father in heaven, with God. Our heart has to be trained because we shouldn't follow the heart. We should train our heart. Our hearts are full of sin. So we have to kind of get that sin out and then train our hearts in the way that Christ intended us for us to live and to be generous, to be kind, and those things have to be dealt with. But in order for that to happen, we have to make sure that we're training our hearts. According to the American Heart Association, there are 7 things that you should do to keep your heart physically healthy. One, so simple things like avoiding tobacco, exercise, you're healthy, your eating habits, your stress level. So many different things that, of course, we know practically that we have to do to make sure that we are living with physically healthy hearts. And today I want to give you 4 things to help strengthen your heart spiritually. Now, let me just say, these are not the only things. These are just 4 things that I've kind of going to focus on, but not the only things, but there's certainly four things that I believe are fundamental to making sure that you're maintaining a spiritually healthy heart. And so right where you are, if you're taking notes, you can follow along. Here's number one: strengthen your heart through reading God's word. Strengthen your heart through reading God's word. Psalm 119, 28 says this: I weep with sorrow. And then he says, encourage me by your word. This word weep was a Hebrew word that simply meant to drop or to drip. It was a term that was used whenever somebody would be sitting in a house and they would look up and there'd be the roof, of course, and it'd be raining outside. And then because of the rain was falling so hard on the roof, it would begin to drip. This is the picture that this writing is writing. He's saying, you know, it's kind of like whenever it's raining so hard, I've got so much sorrow going on in my heart. So much has happened recently in my life. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's just fear, anxiety, worry, and just so much sorrow and weeping is happening in this writer that he says it's kind of like as if there was rain outside hitting the roof, and then it's beginning to soak through the roof, and that's how much I'm beginning to be filled with grief and sorrow and pain. But then he says, God, would you encourage me by your word? In other words, strengthen me by your word, even though I'm experiencing a lot of pain and sorrow. Just a few verses back in verse 25, he says this. He says, I lie in the dust. That's how painful this is. Revive me by your word. The word revive is Hebrew for the word renew. It's like to help me to remain this thing, but really make me new. Keep me alive. Help me remain. Help me to be made new. Renew my heart, God. Help me out here. And then he says, by your word. It's so important that we understand the importance of God's word. The best way that I can give an example to what this might feel like for you, or it's felt like for me, what this writer is suggesting when he says, I lie in the dust. I've got a lot of anxiety. I've got a lot of things going on. Lost my job. Not sure about finances. Man, it's a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. The tears are flooding down. My worry is through the roof, so to speak. But he says, God, would you speak to me? Revive me by your word. Encourage me by your word. Here's the best way that I could practically give you an example of what that might look like in your life. I've spoken to, of course, many people over the years who give their life to Christ, maybe for the first time, or they rededicate their life, or they pick up the Bible, and they're kind of desperate, just like this writer is in this moment. He says, God, I need a word from you. That's basically what he's saying. God, I need a word. I need you to speak a word into my life that it would revive my life again, revive my soul. Have you ever experienced something like this where you cry out to God because, you know, you're in a desperate scenario, you're praying to God, or you're asking him for a healing or a breakthrough for somebody, whatever it may be, and then you read the Bible, you know, and then you open up the Bible, like you literally open up a Bible and you start to kind of read and you're trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden you read something, it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Or maybe you turned on one of the sermons, the messages that you're listening to now, and you're like, gosh, I just read that verse. I mean, I just heard that verse somewhere else. It's as if there's this God and he's talking to me. And as I find people who do this, they'll be amazed. They'll say, Pastor Ricky, God is real. It's crazy. I mean, he's talking to me. And I'm like, I know, you know. And then we had this like encouraging moment with one another because the God, the creator of the universe, is doing just that. I mean, he's speaking to you or he's speaking to me. And so he's speaking to that person. He's like, just encourages the heart. That's what this writer is saying. He's saying, when you speak to me, God, you revive my heart. I mean, you really encourage my heart. You strengthen my heart when you speak to me. But the only way that can happen is when you do this. And I believe there are some of you today, you need to listen in on this. You've got to start reading your word, reading your Bible. You've heard it so many times. You're like, I'm so tired of people talking about reading your Bible. Well, read it then. You know, just start reading it. Then you'll understand why it's so important that you begin to pick up your Bible and read it, right? Jesus said, you can't live without the word. This is what he said. He said, hey, you know, it's like your daily bread. You need this, not yearly, okay? I'm going to do it, you know, one verse a year. No. He said, you got to do this thing daily as much as you can. Like, absorb it, read it. So we strengthen our hearts through reading the word of God. Number two, strengthen your heart through repentance. And I know that doesn't sound like that's something will help you strengthen your heart. It sounds like something that might depress your heart, but the opposite is true. It'll actually strengthen your heart when you repent. Look what this verse says in Proverbs 17:22. It says this. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Now, this is my opinion on what I'm about to say. I think this is maybe one of the most misunderstood verses that people often speak about. Oftentimes, it's equated to laughter. And no question about it, am I saying that laughter is not a good thing? Laughter is a great thing. Some of you have heard the phrase before, you know, laughter is good for your soul, and laughter is good. There's proof scientifically, and I believe that wholeheartedly, that laughter is important. You know, if you smile and you have joy, those things are absolutely important for us and our bodies physically. I believe in the power of laughing and joy. But that is not what the writer is speaking to, a cheerful heart. He's not talking about laughter is good medicine. He says a cheerful heart. Another word is the word merry. So a merry heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So how do we have this joyful or cheerful heart? By removing sin. By removing sin. Let me give you a picture of what I mean by this. David talks about something very similar to help us understand. When we remove sin, it actually adds joy or strength to our heart. Look what it says in Psalm 51. Now, this is David writing, and he says, oh, give me my joy again. I've lost my joy. I don't have the happiness, the cheerful heart. I'm the opposite of that. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. And then he says, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. God, I've recognized that I have a stain of sin on my heart. So, Jesus, would you come in? Father, would you come in? Would you remove that stain of guilt? Because it's actually preventing me from having a cheerful heart. And now I've got this broken spirit. And then he says, so create in me a clean heart. So I had a dirty heart that was causing me not to have any joy. So God, would you somehow restore that heart in me so that I can have the strength and have joy in my life, and I can smile and I can laugh and I can enjoy all the things that you've put in my path. Then he says, renew a loyal spirit within me. What David is simply speaking to is that sin has dried him up. It's broken his bones. It's made him miserable, tormented him from the inside out. And he spent his time crying and grieving rather than rejoicing and living. If you can, go back to Proverbs 17:22 for just a minute. So with that in mind, consider this. A cheerful heart, it's good medicine. Well, how do you have a cheerful heart? Well, to repent of your sin, because when you repent of your sin, it removes the stain of guilt on your sin, and now you can live in freedom, and now you can have a cheerful heart. And it's fantastic when that happens. It's like good medicine. But be careful, because sin or a broken spirit saps your strength. When you're living angry, it saps your strength. When you're living with full of jealousy, it saps your strength. When you're living with discontentment, watch, it saps your strength. When a person constantly lives by comparing themselves to other persons, you know, why don't I have that? They have better than I do. They have more than I do. What this writer is saying, that'll sap your strength. When you're looking at someone else's marriage, you know, and you're just, you know, God has blessed you with the marriage and he's blessed you with children. You got a house, but all you think about is what you don't have. What he's saying is when all you think about is what you don't have and you're never thankful for what you do have, it's actually sapping your strength. But when you repent of that, you say, God, thank you for what I have. God, thank you that, you know, yeah, not everything is perfect and not everything is that, but God, thank you for the blessings that you've stowed upon me. When you begin to express gratitude with God, what the writer is saying, all of a sudden, because you've repented, you've turned to God saying thank you and you're praising him, it returns strength to your heart. Repentance will actually strengthen your heart. Sin, let me say this to you, sin destroys the state of your heart. Sin destroys the state of your heart. But once you repent, then you're able to have a happy and cheerful spirit, which will improve your health. God wants you to have health. He does. But it starts with a repentance so that you can have a healthy heart, a right standing relationship with God. Listen, no child of God can be truly happy and joyful when they are out of sync with one another, when they're out of intimacy with one another. But when David's like, he's so intimate with the Father that he says, God, you got to give me a clean heart here. I can't stand this. I can't stand all the grieving anymore. I've got to get a new heart in me, God. Give me a new spirit in me so that I can have a right standing relationship with you. And when you give me a new heart, man, I can have so much joy in my life again, and I can live in the freedom that you really created me to live in. Number three, strengthen your heart through community with other believers. Through community with other believers. Proverbs 27:17, Solomon writes, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Now, many times we hear this verse, and oftentimes it's quoted in men's ministry stuff, or if you know, men, iron, we're iron, we sharpen each other. This is a big verse. But ladies, moms, listen, this is for you as well. This is a verse that speaks to two things that I want you to really understand. First of all, it's needed two pieces of iron. In other words, there's got to be one piece of iron that needed to sharpen another piece of iron, right? This concept of ironing sharpen iron obviously implies to at least two pieces of iron are needed. It's impossible for one tool to become sharper without the presence of the other. Left alone, both blades would be dull and quite useless. The simple proverb illustrates an important biblical principle. Now, here's the principle. That God expects us to live and serve in a community of other believers, right? We all need people who can help us rub off hard edges and who honestly have our best interest in mind when they do it. And yes, there will be times when sharpening conversations, even from loving friends, can come across harsh, mean, or judgmental. But when you know the person's heart and its interest is best for you, it's actually a great thing. Iron sharpens iron. So we're called to live in this community with another, not just to laugh and pretend like everything's, but somebody that could be around you in your life who's sharpening you. So I have a question. Who sharpens you? Who looks into your life and helps sharpen you and calls out certain sins, all not just to beat you up, not just to kind of brag, but because truly their heart is for you. Well, look what this, another proverb that this writer writes just a few verses back. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Wounds are actually better than kisses from an enemy. Come on, let's be honest. You want someone to be honest with you. You do. I mean, we say it all the time. Hey, be honest with me. And then they're honest with you, and it doesn't feel so good. But the truth is, when it's truth and when it's coming from the right heart, the writer says, not much is better than that. I mean, we need people in our life who are willing to be honest with us so that we could live the life that Christ has called us to live. We need people in our life who are willing to call out those blind spots, call out those areas in our life so that we could grow in our relationship with God. We want people to be honest with us, friends who care about our life, friends who care about our heart. They don't lead us from sin. Friends don't lead us, to sin. They lead us, they lead us from sin. A real friend, what this is saying is, they're not going to just sit there and support whatever your habit you have. They're the kind of person, if you want to know who your real friend is, who will step up and say, you've got to stop that particular sin in your life. Not to beat you up, but to say, hey, I'm here to support you so that you can have a healthy heart. Because your heart matters to God, because everything that happens in your heart eventually flows out on the outside. And so friends want that. They want us to have the right or healthy heart. And then number four, strengthen your heart through songs of thanks. Songs of thanks. Ephesians writes this. Paul writes this to a church in Ephesus about songs of thanks. Here's what he says. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. There's a real friend. See, that's what a real friend would say. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And I love that. That actually encourages me, because for all of you who are like me who can't sing, if you're just like, I just can't sing, I wish I could, but I can't. Okay, but I just want you to know, hey, the cool thing is the Bible knew that God was going to create some people without great voices, and so he put this verse in there for us, I think, because he says, hey, you can make music in your heart. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, there's hope. So I can just be like, you know, and I don't have to hum, and yet God hears me. My voice sounds so good as long as it's not coming out of my mouth. But God hears my heart. So thank God for allowing me to have a heart that can sing. So he says, I want you to sing spiritual songs. And for those of you who can't sing, what he would have been, if he was really being, you know, kind of x-ray, he said, hey, for those of you who can't sing, just make the music in your heart. God hears that. Now, the point of this is there's an indication that Paul is saying to this church at Ephesus, you've got to make sure that you're singing. It matters. It actually affects your heart. Look what James writes, the brother of Jesus, in verse 13, chapter 5. James says this, are any of you suffering hardships? Yeah, I think so. A lot in our nation are. And then he says, well, then you should pray. How about this? Are any of you happy? Then you should sing. You should sing. Like, you should do this. You know, you should sing, okay? It's amazing how singing can change our whole attitude and outlet. It redirects our focus. Many of us, of course, you have a playlist for everything. Maybe you have a Spotify account. You know, you get out your phone, and so you want to just, like, relax or something like that. You know, you go to a massage place or when you did, and they had, like, you know, massage music, relaxing music, you know, that kind of a thing, right? So we want to relax. We listen to relaxing music. But then you got a different playlist, right? You got another playlist. You got the playlist that you want to relive the golden days, you know, whatever your golden days were, don't you? You do. You probably have a playlist, you know, from the 80s, the 70s, wherever you were, and you got that playlist. And every once in a while, you reach deep back in, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this, you know. And then you roll the windows down, you know, and you listen to the song again. So we got a playlist for a lot of things. If you want to work out, you probably got a playlist that says workout, you know, it's a workout playlist, and it's got different types of music in it that help you kind of maybe work out faster or harder or whatever. You've probably got a run playlist, you know, we got all kinds of, we got a marriage playlist, you know what I'm talking about? You got a little playlist, you know, they have set the mood right, get the playlist going, you know, that kind of thing. Why? Music affects our hearts. It affects our mood. It affects our attitude. And so what these writers are saying is, hey, we understand that music does affect your attitude, and it can penetrate even the heart. When we're by the barbecue outside, you know, and you're by the pool, or you're sitting on a beach, you're like, oh, let's turn on that playlist. You know, it's just funny how we have music playlists that the kind of the mood of the environment that we're in. That is why it's important we understand the importance of singing to God. Look what the Philippians writer Paul writes this in Philippians. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Now, I want you to do this. He says, I want you to think about these things. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things, things that are true, noble, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received, heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then, as a result of that, the God of peace will be with you. Simply, he's saying this. When we sing to God, we fix our focus on the truth of God. When we begin to sing to God, when we sing thanks to God, it helps us to focus on the things and the truth of God. Because whatever we focus on, we feel. If we focus on what's happening in the world and what's happening, that's all we focus on, then it's going to create that feeling. But in song and in singing, oftentimes it creates this, it allows us to redirect our focus, even for just a moment. You put a melody behind it, it allows you to kind of fix our focus on the truths of God. And then all of a sudden, when you get the truth of God in you, peace begins to form in our hearts. So today, I asked Andrews, our worship leader, just to sing a song in just a minute. So he's going to come up here, and I want to sing a song for just a minute. During the Depression years of our nation, there was a chorus that was quite popular, and we'll put it up on the screen. This is the chorus that many would sing or became popular in the time of the Depression. And I'm not equating Great Depression to what's happening today, but there might be some similarities in what's happening around our nation. But this was a hymn that was very popular in that time. It's Cheer Up, You Saints of God. There is nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid. This is a song that many would sing. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, God is still on the throne. So why not trust him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning. What if we just sang that song? You know, what if we just sang a song that says, God, you are still on the throne? When you look at these lyrics, it's like, man, God, when we begin to put our focus on you and our attention on you, we begin to sing songs that begin to adjust our heart. I just want to encourage you right where you are today to sing. I do not know what's going on at all throughout your life. I mean, many of us are facing very similar situations, you know, of course, but here's what I can tell you today. For some of us today, we just need to begin to sing. Sing and declare the goodness of God. That although turmoil and all kinds of stuff was happening around the nation, there's this line, and it's the line that stood out to me the most, was remember God is still on the throne. God's word is still true. A pandemic, health, finances doesn't change the truth and the relevancy of God's word today. It is still true. God is still governing the planet. He's still the one that makes the earth rotate, the whole thing, you know, happen at all. He's the one making all of that line up. He is still on the throne. You may have lost your job, but I want you to know he's still on the throne. He's still the one providing. He's still the one bringing all the things that we need on this planet to live. It is him. It is by his word that we live. God is still on the throne. And so today, I want to invite you to do something. I just invite you to sing this song. It's a song called The Heart of Worship. It's a song that, of course, has been sung for many years, just allowing our hearts. So I just asked Andrew to sing this song, just to allow our hearts to reconnect with the Father. And so right where you are, mom, dad, wherever you are in the living room watching in, here's my encouragement. Just take a moment. Take a moment to sing. Allow your heart to sing, and if you can't sing, then just allow your heart to sing. Just allow to hear these words, to soak in, and to focus on God. And then once we're done singing this song, I'll be back up just to kind of close this out with a quick word of prayer. And so, Andrews, if you would, just sing this song, Heart of Worship, for us.
Appear, you're looking into my heart. all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. The heart of worship, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Hey, wherever you are today, just want to encourage you. Maybe today, to strengthen your heart, you need to begin just to read the Word of God. When you begin to read the Word of God, it'll begin to strengthen your heart. Maybe you need encouragement today. Well, then pick up a Bible. God is faithful to His promise. Those who seek Him find Him. God is wanting to give you an answer, and it could be just sitting underneath, write your answer. Literally sitting on your nightstand. Your answer is sitting in your closet on the top shelf. And He's just waiting to have a relationship with you. And what a time that we have, of course, to spend time in our Word. So I encourage you to take time. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to bless you with one. You could just simply go to our website, hit the /connect, get connected. You could fill that out in the prayer request spot. You could just say, I need a Bible. We'd be happy to mail you one, send you one. We'd be happy to bless you with the Word of God. If you don't have one, we'll help you find one that fits you. We just encourage you to find time in your Word. You've got to do it. Some of you today, you know it too. You know it, but you just don't for whatever reason. Other things are taking your time. Make time for God's Word. I believe it'll give you the strength and encouragement that you need. Number two, repentance. Strengthen your heart through repenting. Maybe today it's about repenting. And tonight or today when you know, this service is done, or wherever you are, you might just need to sit down and say, God, I want to repent of that sin, that anger, that bitterness, that resentment, that unforgiveness that I've had. It's destroying your life. Listen, unforgiveness is destroying your marriage. Resentment is destroying you having joy at your job. How about just looking up to God saying, God, thank you that I still have a job today. Thank you, God. And just fixing your focus on the gratitude and thankfulness of God. You know, discontentment has been robbing you of joy for far too long. Stop focusing on what you don't have and thank God for the things that you do have and the things that He's put in your path. Don't get caught in comparison, all the different things. Instead, God wants to fill you with joy. But you can begin just to repent, say, God, help me to turn from those ways. Help me to have a clean heart. Maybe today for you, it's just repentance right where you are. I encourage you to do so. Say, God, give me a clean heart. Read Psalm 51, 8 through 10, just like David. God created a new heart in me. Help me to find joy again in my life, joy in my marriage, joy in my relationship with my children. Help me find that joy again. I encourage you to repent today. Repentance strengthens your heart. Number three, your community of believers. When you get around a community of believers, it strengthens your heart because iron sharpens iron. We need people in our life to help sharpen us. And so for wherever you are watching online, let me just say this to you. Don't get caught up in the way that of course, everything's operating today, just watching different services and then clicking off, feeling like, you know, I attend a church. My encouragement to you is get involved in a church. I mean, whatever church that is, it's one near you, close to you, get involved. Take this step, fill out the information, get involved in their groups if they've got groups, you know, or whatever that may look like. For us at Brave, if that's the place that you want to be a part of, then I just encourage you, go to our website. wearebrave.church/connect. It's real simple. It's right there on our website. We just made it a really simple process for you to get involved. We have groups that happen throughout the week. We have a Monday night Zoom call that's happening with people all around our nation. So it's been incredible to see. We're studying the book of Acts, and so we'd love to have you be a part of that. That's on Mondays at 7 p.m. Again, you can just email us. You can email me, my name, Rick, R-I-C-K, at wearebrave.church. If that you didn't get that, rick@wearebrave.church, or you go to our website, go to the Get Connected tab. You can just get connected. What we care about right here at Brave is we want you to get connected to a family of believers. Because why? Iron sharpens iron. We want you to have a strong heart, and we know that you need other people to do that. And then number four, of course, is simply to make sure that we understand to sing songs of thanks. So I encourage you today, hey, sing songs of thanks. Put on some Spotify, put on some music as you're hanging out with your family, your moms today. Put on some music, you know, mom, get out the old music, the stuff that brings you joy, you know, the good stuff, the good old days, you know, bring joy back into your heart today, wherever you are. But bring songs of thanks to God too. Maybe you're out working. I sent a text message recently and I sent them a playlist. And one of my friends in the church, she responded back. She said, thank you for sending me that playlist. It helped me get through my day at work today. So just putting the right music on can sometimes adjust your whole day. So put praises on throughout your evening. Put praises on throughout your home. Sing songs of thanks to God. Because when you do, it helps us fix our minds and our hearts on the truths of God. Hey, however today's message spoke to you, I encourage you to take action, to take this next step. To repent, to get involved in a church, to take a step. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you, sing songs of praise, whatever it is for you, or maybe just read your Bible. Let us know. We want to be a support with you. And let me pray for you right where you are. Jesus, thank you for today. Lord, we bless all of our moms today. Jesus, we thank you for your time and your word. Help us to live in faith and to live brave. In Jesus' name, let me pray a blessing on you, Lord. I pray that you would bless all your people, that you'd keep them, make your face shine upon them. Grant them peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take care. We love you. God bless.